ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड गजेंद्रास प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। योगरंदित कर्माणो हृदि योगा विभाविते योगिनोयं प्रपश्यन्ति योगेशं तं नतोऽस्म्यहम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Super Soul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activity by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Purport. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and has supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why then do the non-devotee and atheists not admit this? The reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off this dirt by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Yoga Randita Karmana. As long as one is covered by material nature's modes of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kama Lobada Yaschaye. When one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, Kama and Loba, lust and greed. Nowadays, there are many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desires and greed through the practice of yoga. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here. As authoritatively stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1, Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha. A yogi is one who always meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanenam Santa Sadeva Rudeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamsundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. The bhakti yogi constantly sees Shamsundar, beautiful Lord Krishna, with his blackish bodily hue. Because the king of the elephants, Gajendra, thought himself an ordinary animal, he thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who are like animals in the bodily concept of life and who have no purity of consciousness practice yoga? In the present day, people who have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of philosophy, and who do not follow religious principles or rules and regulations are nonetheless pretending to be yogis. This is the greatest anomaly in the practice of mystic yoga. Hare Krishna. We are reading some of the most desperate prayers in a very desperate situation. This is the moment we are reaching the climax of this whole pastime, where in great desperation Gajendra is calling out to the Lord, and he has abandoned all, if at all he has ever did, all intellectual analysis, all weighing pros and cons. Now nothing but simply calling out to Krishna helplessly. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. We should chant like the child cries helplessly for his mother. This is the mood in which Gajendra is now intensely. He is calling out to the Supreme Lord. When a child is in great crisis and danger, he doesn't analyze why he is in danger, or he doesn't do a SWOT analysis. strength, weakness, opportunities, threats. He also doesn't go to the internet and Google out the solution. He just calls out helplessly to his mother. So this is the goal of the scriptures. This is the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the goal of these chapters that we are reading. To awaken the child within us. To make us cry out to Krishna helplessly. And we can see in the previous verses, I think Dwarkadish Prabhu gave a class on this, where Gajendra's, this intense mood has been very poignantly captured in this verse, where he is saying, Jiji vishe naham yamuya kim. Enough, O Lord, even if I am really, after release, being released from the clutches of this crocodile, I do not want to live in this material world. Enough. I just want to go back. I want to finish off my business in this material world. I don't want to live in this material world anymore. Enough. No more birth, no more school, homework, exams, boyfriend, girlfriend problems. Enough. Marriage, business. Enough. Just now let me go back. And in the previous chapter he has analyzed, he explains in his prayers why he is coming to this conclusion, why he is helplessly crying out to Krishna. Namami megyataya aturam gaja kuta karinya prabhavanti mochitum grahena pashena vidhaturavruto pyaham chatamyami paramparayanam. In a very beautiful verse, Gajendra is saying that I have tried everything. I have tried all intellectual analysis. I have tried all my physical prowess to come out of this mess. But where are all my friends and relatives who are trying to help me so much? Where are they now? Kuta karinya prabhavanti mochitum. Where are my wives? Gajendra had many wives. And he had many friends, many relatives. He was the king of the elephants. He's calling out, where are they? None of them can help me now because I have been captured by not simply a crocodile, grahena. Grahena pashena vidhatur avruto. This is actually providence which has captured me in the form of this crocodile. Therefore, my dear Lord, parayanam, peham chatam yami param parayanam. I am taking shelter of you, the Supreme Lord. Because nobody can save me at the time of death except you. And the next verse is even more hard hitting. Yakashanesho balinonta koragat. Prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham bhitam prapannam paripati adbhayan mrityu pradhavat aranam tamimahi. He says, my dear Lord, who has captured me? Not this crocodile, but a serpent. Prachanda vegat, this serpent is like a huge python which is chasing me with full speed, and I am running from this python. And this python is called Kala, time factor. Prachanda vegat abhidavato brisham. But if somebody was running away from this python of time, bhitam prapannam paripati yad bayan, if it simply takes shelter of you, what happens? Mrityu, that serpent of time, pradhavat, that serpent starts running away from Krishna. So our only hope and our only shelter is to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we spend so much of our time having faith in our own ability. Last week, Madan Gopal Prabhu gave this amazing example out of his humility. He was saying how he was trapped in a boat, on top of the boat, ferry coming from Alibag. And he tried, and he was thinking, as the boat was shaking, he was thinking, I'll hold this, I will do all these things to save myself. And if the boat drowns, then I will float on this. He was analyzing so much. And he was saying how I couldn't remember Krishna at all. So if our whole life we are only thinking of how I will manipulate the material energy, how I will use my intellectual and physical prowess and abilities to make situations comfortable and perfect so that I can be comfortable and then I can practice Krishna consciousness. That will never happen. We have to actually call out to Krishna even when we are struggling, even when we are trying and doing, apparently we have to do many things, but we should know. That should not be our shelter. We should know from within that I have to actually exclusively depend on Krishna, not on our own abilities. And now we can see that Gajendra is in desperate situation. He's just calling out helplessly. Sometimes some devotees give an argument that we are not like Gajendra right now. Right now, you know, we are not facing the bite of the crocodile. We are not in such a crisis. So I am not able to pray like Gajendra. If I was in Gajendra's crisis, maybe I could pray like that. This is a very common argument. Actually, if this is what we are feeling, that right now I am not in mess, I am not in crisis, I am not like in a Gajendra situation, how should I pray? Then that is actually Maya. And that is precisely why we have these Bhagavatam classes. So that we can come to the realization that we are every moment in the jaws of the crocodile. It's our being in Maya, illusion, that we are not realizing that we are getting sucked in. And the crocodile's teeth is actually biting us, is actually ending our existence in this bodily existence. So if we are not able to realize, that means we have to take shelter of hearing and chanting more. And we have to come to this realization. It's a desperate situation. I think Sridharma Prabhu gave this amazing example of that video which he saw. A serpent is swallowing a frog. And as the frog is being sucked in, the frog is also capturing some fly and is desperately wanting to eat. He is going in, but he is also wanting his food. So we are getting sucked in by this python of time. All our possessions we are being stripped of with utter contempt, with utter disdain, you know. Material nature doesn't care for us. And still, as we are getting sucked in, we want to hold on to so many things. Therefore, we have to come for these Bhagavatam classes and take shelter of this process of hearing and chanting and pray to Krishna that we get this realization that I am in the jaws of crocodile every moment. Srila Prabhupada, we know, is a pure devotee and his whole life is a pastime. Yet, as a sadhaka, we can learn many things from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. From a sadhaka's point of view also. And Srila Prabhupada, he learnt his lesson in the very first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had political affiliations. He had liking for the Indian independence movement. And as we say, an intelligent person learns by hearing. So in the first meeting at that Ultadanga center of Gaudiya Math, Bhaktivedanta Thakur tells Abhay Charan, which is Prabhupada's household name, he tells Abhay Charan that he should preach the message of Krishna consciousness because this is a desperate emergency. And Abhay, who studied in Scottish Church College, we'll call Srila Prabhupada as Abhay in this pastime, just to make the narration smooth. So Abhay protested because Abhay was thinking that we have to get independence first. So Abhay Charan is a young boy who studied in Scottish Church College, which is Calcutta's best college, like Presidency College and then Scottish Church College. Very intelligent, a debater in college. And he says, this message has to wait because right now independence is the real need. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur dismisses all these arguments as if they are of no consequence. He says, Krishna consciousness is the only emergency. Taking shelter of Krishna is the only emergency and it cannot wait for anything else. And after that meeting, Prabhupada is convinced. And we can see today, we have got independence. 60 years have passed. Are we really better off? Earlier the British were exploiting us. Now Indians are exploiting themselves. Indians are being abused by Indians. Recession, terrorism, child molestation, hoarding of essential food grains, politician underworld nexus. There's a long list of thousands of things that are happening in the society today. So problems have not been solved. And Srila Prabhupada learned this lesson and his whole life's mission was one thing, to tell people that there is no shelter in this world, there is nothing we can do, just get out of this world. It's like Gajendra is praying now. Finish off your business, just get out of this world, don't be here. We have to do necessary things to manage the fleeting problems of this world. We may have to do the needful. But that doesn't mean we ignore the real solution. And when Srila Prabhupada started his ISKCON in New York, 1966, the youth were angry. They were challenging Srila Prabhupada, what is the relevancy of your Krishna consciousness now if you cannot address the Vietnam War? Vietnam War! And Prabhupada is telling them the example of Arjuna being told by Krishna to fight. And Arjuna didn't want to fight, but Krishna forced him to fight. So Prabhupada says, you have to fight if Krishna tells you to fight. Philosophically, they understand, the boys and the girls who come for that program. But they are hurt. They don't want to fight the Vietnam War. So they challenge Prabhupada. Are you suggesting we should fight the Vietnam War? Prabhupada says, Vietnam War will be a non-issue in a few years. Prabhupada was challenging them to surrender to Krishna and realize that these problems are temporary. We have to solve the real problems of suffering in this material world. And later on in 1971, when that Indo-Pakistan war was happening and that reporter told Srila Prabhupada that please beg General Yahya Khan of Pakistan to stop this bloody war, Prabhupada again challenged him. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada challenged the reporter, will you not die if there is no war? Prabhupada was exposing us to the ugly reality of birth, death, old age, disease. And he wanted us to get out of this suffering. It's not that we are pessimistic, we only talk about these things. If you are pessimistic, it's amazing, huh? It's an amazing irony. Outside world, everybody is optimistic and they're talking about positive attitude, optimism, but they are so miserable. And here, devotees are apparently talking about death and misery, but they are blissfully chanting Hare Krishna. So it's not a pessimistic philosophy, it is simply an awareness. We have to be aware that this world is miserable and we have to remember Krishna, and that gives us bliss. We have to take shelter of Krishna exclusively. So Srila Prabhupada's life changed after that first meeting with Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. And he realized that everything else is temporary. We have to only take shelter of Krishna. And this was his message constantly. And later on in Srila Prabhupada's own life, as things started falling apart, one by one, everything was going away. But because Prabhupada had already learned this, he was fixed in this, he was able to continue his service to Guru, he was able to strengthen his relationship with Krishna because he was focused on this. He was not trying, he was teaching us that we should not try to make all material adjustments and then practice Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we think, I will make everything nice, everything, all situations will be proper and then I will practice bhakti. That will never happen. Because Prabhupada's own wife, she was not cooperative. And she couldn't appreciate Prabhupada's preaching spirit and Prabhupada's dedication to spiritual master. And his own son, one of his sons, he fell in love with a girl and he couldn't get married to her because of some family pressure from the girl's side. And he actually went crazy. He left home. Nobody knew where he was. He was living like a beggar in the streets of Calcutta. So things, it hurt Prabhupada. So somebody may say, but why this has to happen to Krishna's pure devotees? Krishna wants to teach us that in this material world, we cannot bank, we cannot rely on any material adjustment or material relationship as a source of security. Srila Prabhupada's own son left. His wife was not cooperative. Pandavas were associates of Krishna. And look at what happened. Krishna's own sister's son, Abhimanyu, he is killed. Krishna is there, right there, and Krishna is not stopping it. Draupadi's five sons, so mercilessly butchered. What can cause greater anguish to a mother? And Krishna is right there. So Krishna is teaching us through so many examples in history and from the lives of his own associates that we cannot bank on material adjustments. Everything will fall apart eventually. And this is very nicely explained by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was very despondent after the war, he was holding himself responsible for all the bloodshed and violence in the war. And Bhishma Pitama, when he is instructing Yudhishthir, he says, Aho kashtam, aho nyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana, jivitum narata klishtam, vipra dharma chitashraya. Bhishma Dev is ecstatic because he is seeing that at last the Pandavas have got the kingdom and they are dressed opulently. He is shedding tears of joy and he is answering Yudhishthir Maharaj's questions as to why they have suffered so much. And Bhishma Dev says, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, you have gone through so much injustice, so much suffering. You didn't deserve to live. But there is no cause for despondency because you have taken shelter of three things. Vipra, Dharma, Achyutashraya. Taken shelter of Vaishnavas, taken shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness, and taken shelter of Achyuta, the infallible Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada also explains in that purport that if we take shelter of these three, then there is no cause for despondency, although we are facing so much suffering. We have to take shelter of these three principles. But still a question remains, why such pure devotees of the Lord have to suffer so much? In the next verse, Bhishma Dev says, Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam chayad apriyam sapalo yad vashe loko vayoriva ghanavali. He says, Sarvam kala kritam manye. Everybody and everything is controlled by Kal. And because of this Kala, bhavatam chayad apriyam, all apriya, unfavorable things happen in this world. Sapalo yad vashe loko, the whole world is under the grips of time. Just like vayur iva ghanavali, just like a huge wind comes and blows away a mass of cloud, similarly time is like that wind which comes and throws away all of us from our comfortable situation or that situation which we are seeking. And in that is one of the most beautiful purports. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes one statement. He says, Bhishma Dev is teaching us, we should not be disturbed by the tricks of time. Time is very tricky, Prabhupada writes there. And he gives an example that the greatest controller, Brahmaji, is controlled by time. So why should devotees be despondent if they are controlled by time and if time is playing tricks in their lives? And time is not playing tricks on you and me or some Tom, Dick and Harry. Bhishma Dev is saying, my dear Yudhishthir, your life, you should understand that time is influencing your life. In the next verse, he contrasts, he graphically explains why it is amazing, astonishing that Pandava suffered so much. Yatra dharma suto raja gada pani rukodara krishno stri gandivam chapam suhurt krishna stato vipat. He says, who are you, Pandavas? You are not ordinary people. You are dharma suta. You are son of religion personified, Yudhishthir. And who are your associates? Gada pani rukodara, the wielder of gada, Bhima. And krishno stri gandivam chapam, the wielder of gandiva, Krishna, that is Arjuna. And who is your best friend and well-wisher? Suhurt, Krishna. But still, tato vipat. Still you have faced all unfavorable situations in your life. So amazing, Prabhupada analyzes in the purport that materially and spiritually Pandavas were in the best position. Materially they had two powerful resources, Bhima and Arjuna. And Prabhupada says spiritually they had Krishna and Yudhishthir. But still they suffered so much. Even when they got the kingdom, they lost their children. Because Krishna wants to tell us that this world is a nasty place, not a fit place for a gentleman. And Bhishma Dev then tells Yudhishthir Maharaj and all of us, don't try to analyze why Krishna is doing this. Nayasya kare chedrajan puman veda vidisitum yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. Nayasya karichit rajan. Oh, Yudhishthira Maharaj, I cannot understand Krishna's plan. Puman Veda Vidhitsutum. Muyanti kavayopi. Great, great philosophers have been bewildered by Krishna's plan. So let us not analyze. And Prabhupada writes, in Brahmaji and Shivji are saying, we cannot understand Krishna's plan. Why should we sit and analyze? Instead, let us take shelter of Krishna. And very nice example also Prabhupada gives in that purport about a mother teaching a daughter-in-law. She knows that daughter-in-law has just come home and she'll feel, you know, she'll cry or she'll feel sad or afraid when she gets chastisement. So if she has to be corrected, the lady of the house, she chastises her own daughter. So the daughter-in-law hears, sorry, this is a mistake. So she learns. So Prabhupada says, similarly, Krishna knows if he gives us that kind of trouble, we may give up devotional service. So he gives it to his own pure devotees so that we can learn how they have faced these situations. And then we can understand that we are in the jaws of crocodile and we have to take shelter of Krishna. This is an amazing lesson given by Bhishma Dev, that there is no shelter in this material world. Whoever you are, whether you are Gajendra, insignificant animal like Gajendra, or Krishna's own associates like Pandavas, or a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna wants to teach us through all these examples that we should not bank on anybody and anything in this material world. If you see Srila Prabhupada's own life, it was in one sense a roller coaster ride till 1922, he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His material life was flourishing like anything. If you analyze, Gaur Mohandev, Prabhupada's father, his close friend was Dr. Bose, Dr. Bose Laboratories, which was one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in India after Bengal Chemicals. And Dr. Bose was a family friend, and he appoints Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, as the manager for the whole northern India of his company. It's a big job, high paying job, drawing a salary of 3,500 rupees per month at that time, which is like nowadays maybe 3.5 lakhs. And the whole northern India is with Abhay Charan. And he makes Allahabad as his headquarters. There he makes very close friendship with Dr. Ghosh and starts his Prayag Pharmacy. Very flourishing business. He gets a nice big car, and his nephew Tulsi is the driver for that car. And he gets, and influential people like Jawaharlal Nehru and his father come to his pharmacy shop. He's really establishing himself in Allahabad. Everything is going on excellent. And in 1928, he meets Gaudama devotees again after 6 years. And he becomes happy. Wow, devotees are here. Bhakti Pradeep Tirth Maharaj and Atulanand Brahmachari. They become close friends. And Prabhupada starts getting donations for the temple. He starts preaching. His business is also flourishing. Everything is going on nice. And 1932, Kartik, Prabhupada goes to Vrindavan, hears from his Guru Maharaj, relationship gets solidified, and November 1932 is the time when Prabhupada takes initiation, and his wife refuses to take initiation. And November 1932, after Srila Prabhupada has accepted the vows of initiation, series of debacles start materially. Just a few days after that, Dr. Bose gets a letter saying that Abhay Charan has defaulted on all the payments. What had happened with Srila Prabhupada, who was at that time a grihastha, having a flourishing business, he had debtors, and the amount was around 10,000 rupees, and they all mysteriously, money stopped coming. So Dr. Bose carried out an investigation, and he found out that Abhay is innocent. But still, although he had family relations and friendship, he couldn't continue giving him credit, because that was a big loss, 10,000 rupees. And overnight, Prabhupada had nothing in Allahabad. So Atulanand Prabhu tells Prabhupada that, see, this is Krishna's arrangement. You give up everything and become Brahmachari. Join now. And Prabhupada says, no. I have got just another daughter now. Already he had one son. He has two sons and one daughter already. He says, no. He has to take care of his family. He has responsibilities. So he comes to Bombay. And Gaudiya Math Center was here at Grand Road, just few minutes walk from here. And he was staying at Goalia Tank. We'll be going there today in Harinam, Sankirtan. Prabhupada staying so close by. And here also problems started right from day one. He joined Smithson Laboratory, and there they started doing politics, because they were wondering why he has left such a big company and come here. And but Prabhupada's service to his guru, his preaching didn't stop. He was completely absorbed. He knew I had to only take shelter of Krishna. So as business collapsed, his family was disappointed. And this is the time when Prabhupada comes across this verse, Asyam Anugrahanami Harishyetat Dhanam Shanai. And he shows it to, in Bombay that time, Prabhupada makes very close friendship with Bhakshi Rakshar Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj. So Prabhupada shows them the letter. He says, he shows them that verse, Asyam Anugrahanami. I have come across this interesting verse. Does this apply to me? Because I am going through so much problems. And Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Maharaj says, 100%. Krishna, you are the chosen person by Krishna. Krishna has chosen Prabhupada. So Krishna starts removing all the things. And one problem after another. But one thing that happens in Bombay is in the next 4 years, Prabhupada gets, his relationship with his Guru Maharaj becomes more intense. He has 12 meetings in 4 years. where Bhaktivedanta Thakur gives personal instructions to print books, to, you know, he tells him about the problems in Gaudiya Math and so many things. He becomes a confidential associate of his Guru Maharaj. And eventually in 1937, Bhaktivedanta Thakur leaves this world. Prabhupada's spiritual master is not there. His business is collapsing. And the institution which his Guru Maharaj founded starts collapsing. And Prabhupada is forced to leave Bombay because business-wise, it's collapsed. In 1938, he starts one of the biggest projects in Calcutta. And right from day one, problems. Already failed in Allahabad, then Bombay, now Calcutta, a very big factory. And but Prabhupada's heart is in preaching. He's, because the harmonist, because Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur's magazine was at stop publishing, Prabhupada starts writing back to Godhead. And he doesn't get paper from the government of India. Obstacles everywhere in preaching. At home, no support. But because he's already learned this lesson, he knows there is no shelter. He wants to give shelter of Krishna to everyone. He's desperate to give this message. And he's preaching. And around 1939, he starts writing a massive magnum opus, treatise on Bhagavad Gita, called Gita Upanishad. Every day he's writing and prepares a big, and he writes it for 10 years. And the service is going on. In 1944, even the Calcutta business, in the peak of Second World War, it collapses. And then, that's the time when first time Bhaktivedanta Thakur comes in his dream and says, give up everything, just take sannyas. And Prabhupada says, I got up with the, as if it was a nightmare. How can I take sannyas? And then imagine, Allahabad, Bombay, Calcutta, but Prabhupada embarks on the most ambitious project ever. He invests 40,000 rupees and starts a big factory at Lucknow so that he can get funds and profits and use that for preaching and also take care of his family. This is in 1945 and this goes on for 4 years, and again, simultaneously, Bhaktivedanta Thakur again comes in the dream. Give up everything, Abhay, take sannyas. Business is collapsing. And one of the most painful incidents that happens to him is he goes to Madras on a business trip and there he meets one friend, Mr. Chetty, who introduces him to Mr. Alagappa, who is called as the Birla of South, very rich man. And Prabhupada has been trying for the last 10 years to get a nice sponsor for his Bhagavad Gita, publishing his Bhagavad Gita. And this Dr. Alagappa says, I will publish it. You just get the manuscript. The great happiness, Prabhupada comes to Calcutta, comes to his house, opens the cupboard and sees that his 10 year of hard work, his manuscript is missing. And nobody knows where it has gone. His wife says, I don't know. Children say, I don't know. What a failure. In the sense, sometimes we do some service, some project, after 2-3 years, you know, when we face problems, we find it so difficult. And Prabhupada's material life is getting finished. Such an important, precious personal service to his Guru Maharaj is disturbed. And Lucknow business collapses by 1948. And this is the time when Prabhupada is preaching to not some ordinary people. He is writing letters and preaching through back to Godhead to the governor of West Bengal. Not ordinary people, you know. He is writing letters to education minister, prime minister, president, to the chairman of the president of the World Pacifist Committee. One of the greatest social reformers at that time, Mahendra Pratap Raja, he corresponds with him. He's writing extensively and preaching. Then he writes to the Ford Foundation at Detroit. And they want to know how to improve their work, employee motivational level. And Prabhupada writes that, I have the formula, chant Hare Krishna. So much faith in the holy name. Shelter of Krishna is the only solution. And that preaching is not getting success. Nobody is responding. Your family life is disturbed. Business is collapsing, but still 1948, Prabhupada starts with his complete loss, but still he manages to have 7,000 rupees, which is also a huge amount, and he starts again a factory at Allahabad, second innings at Allahabad, but he keeps his family at Calcutta. And during this business trip from Allahabad, once he goes to Jhansi, and there he meets people who promise him many things, you know. Dr. Shastri, Prabhakar Mishra, Reva Shankar Bayal, they've said many, many nice things to Prabhupada, and he starts getting hopes. So he invests more 5,000 rupees there, and they have a big inauguration of League of Devotees and establishes preaching, everything, but that building is taken away. There are two women, Chandramukhi and Suryamukhi. They come together and they say, no, we want this building. And Prabhupada convinces the owner. But that owner is under pressure from the governor's wife, K.M. Munshi's wife, because she wants it for the women's program. And K.M. Munshi influences that owner by saying that you have a theater, movie theater, and you want the license to be renewed. So he understands that I want the theater, so I can't give this building to Prabhupada. A lot of politics goes on there. So he has spent 10,000 rupees on the inauguration and establishing League of Devotees there. That money is gone. And here he gets news that is Allahabad, final business venture of Prabhupada. That has been burglarized. People have attacked and stolen everything. And that's when Prabhupada laughs, remembering Yasyam Anugrahanami verse. And that's when his son comes and says, tells his father, please come back. And Prabhupada again goes back to Calcutta and again starts a small laboratory, small business called Vimlatone Laboratory. Just so that his family will be happy and they will support in preaching. And his preaching can expand. And that again fails miserably. And there, what happens is, one day he comes home and he sees that his Bhagavatam is missing. And his wife says, she sold it so that she can get some tea biscuits. Prabhupada is devastated. His Bhagavatam sold for tea biscuits. And he says, I'm leaving home. And he leaves. And when he left home, people thought, Abhay Babu is leaving home as usual for a business trip. Neighbors thought he's gone. He'll come back after some time. But little did they know that Abhay Babu was now living forever for good. In a great transcendental frenzy, Prabhupada borrows 10 rupees, few rupees from his friend, takes a train to Jajigram, goes to his godbrother, Paramahansa Maharaj, he had the Gaudiya Math there, and he takes shelter there. And from morning to night, the only thing Prabhupada does there, for weeks and weeks, months together, morning to night, he exclusively takes shelter of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Intensely chants, and in the evening, he would give a short class to the brahmacharis in the temple. And his thoughts, he was going through the most turbulent spiritual emotions at that time. And his Guru Maharaj was coming in the dream and imploring him. And then he comes back to Jhansi for preaching. And Jhansi writes a desperate letter to Mrs. Munshi. Please give us this land. I have sacrificed my business. I have sacrificed my home for this. Please let me preach. They don't give him that land. But Isolina Pradhana Swami Maharaj was saying, how Krishna's poetic justice to Prabhupada. This whole campus here at Chowpatty, lot of area was owned by Bharati Vidya Bhavan. The same building. And there was some problem. The teacher did some scandal of the Bharati Vidya Bhavan teacher. And the teacher was also teaching for the LNHO children. So Srinathji Prabhu, being a true warrior and representative of Prabhupada, he took up this case and Bharati Vidya Bhavan got scared and they relinquished a lot of property. So a lot of that property then became ISKCON. So Maharaj was saying how this was the poetic justice awarded by Krishna to Srila Prabhupada. Because Bharati Vidya Bhavan was snatched away from him. Prabhupada was told to leave Jhansi, but he got back. Because Prabhupada stood outside this building and he had, looking at the direction of our temple, he had told Shamsundar Prabhu that we should have a temple here. So Krishna fulfilled that desire later on. But here in this pastime, no help. Then Prabhupada leaves Jhansi. So this is the most, Prabhupada has no institutional support, no financial support, no domestic help. 1954 onwards, he is alone. He stays at somebody's house for a few days, then somebody's house, then somebody's house. In Delhi, he is struggling to print Back to Godhead. His concern is Back to Godhead. He wants to publish and preach. And in the winter of 1955-56, he is struggling. He goes to that printer and that printer sees that this gentleman has not eaten food for a few days. He says, shall I get breakfast for you? And Prabhupada would say, okay. But Prabhupada is more concerned about preaching. And then he distributes. And when he himself distributes those Back to Godheads. And people shout at him, go away, get lost. We don't want you here. We have no time. But Prabhupada comes back to his room and writes an article on that. Modern man, no time disease. Next day somebody tells him, we have not seen God. There is no God. The next day Prabhupada writes an article. Can we see God? whatever Prabhupada saw and experienced in this material world, Prabhupada used it as a preaching tool to tell people to take shelter of Krishna, to bring them closer to Krishna. For like this, Prabhupada extensively preaches. He writes, in one letter he writes to Dr. Rajendra Prasad, the President of India. He writes an amazing letter. He says, I have a clue by which all of us can go back to Godhead. Please don't think I'm a madman. He actually writes that. Please don't think I'm a madman. I actually have a clue. I know what I'm saying. And then he writes, you know, I'm crying alone in the wilderness. Please help. You know, we have to spread this message. The world is burning for want of Krishna consciousness. Like this, Prabhupada desperate pleas, and there he has big plans of distributing back to Godheads 10,000 copies in America, Russia, China, 500 copies in Belgium, Brazil, like that, you know, different countries. He has a big target. He's fully focused. And then during this period, he also comes to Vrindavan. And there, he experiences great separation from his spiritual master. He writes Vira Ashtakam, you know, in great separation, lamentation, separation from spiritual master. And there he also writes one bhajan called Vrindavan Bhajan. It's an amazing poem he writes, which is very relevant to this modern context that we are reading. I'll not read the whole poem, just two stanzas. Just hear this carefully. Srila Prabhupada is writing this in Vrindavan when everybody has left him, that he has nothing. Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery. But it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Sansar, whom do I really love? Where have my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Who will give me news? All that is left of this family is simply a list of names. As the froth on the sea water mixes again in the sea, Maya Sansar's play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on the sea water mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets with destruction. So like this, it's a long poem where Prabhupada is writing about how all relations in this material world are temporary and useless, and there is no substitute for taking shelter of Krishna. We have to exclusively take shelter of Krishna. And the more adjustments we try to make in this material world, it will prolong our suffering in this material world. It will prolong our going back to Krishna. And we can see in our own life, I'm sure we have had enough experiences, how much dependence on our own abilities actually gives us happiness. What can we actually do? For example, relationships. There are so many books written on relationships, and I was reading one very famous book by a management guru. All techniques, you know, because relationship is the biggest problem in this material world. Everybody has problems. And in the end of the book, I was stunned to read, he says, all these techniques are useless. Ultimately, God has to sanction. Then I realized he's a devout Christian. He's a devotee of God. He says, if God's endowment is there, everything can happen. So ultimately, we are not in control. Okay, relationship is one. What about so many confusions, controversies, scandals that are threatening to break our faith? Constantly our faith is being challenged. How much will our intellectual analysis save us? It's only shelter of Krishna. If this is not enough, then there is misery. Adhyatmik, adhibhautik. How much can we fight against it? Disease, old age. I remember as a young boy, late 70s and early 80s, Australian cricket team was very famous. And one example I still remember was, every team that used to play against Australia, they would be scared of two people in that Australian team. Dennis Lilly and Jeff Thompson. Thomung. So, and any batsman would face them, he would get beaten. The ball would hit their bodies and they would be bleeding, crying. So if you somehow survive one fellow, the other fellow will attack you from the other end. So they used to have a slogan everywhere, you know. If Lily doesn't get you, Tomo would. You know, if, So I can relate that to the modern world very nicely, you know. Material miseries are like that. If one misery doesn't get you, the other will get you. How much will we avoid and escape? We are going to be battered and bruised relentlessly. So misery is one, confusion, scandals, problems, faith, relationships. And then services. How much services can we do based on our own ability, on our own intelligence? However expert we are, Krishna puts us in a situation where we have to exclusively take shelter of him. And if all this is not enough, there is a challenge of insanity. Any time we can break down, this world is such a bizarre place. If you actually see, last year I remember I had this amazing realization. These terrorists were attacking, there were bomb blasts going on here, right? 100 meters from our temple. We were all gasping in disbelief. We couldn't believe that something can happen so close to our temple. The whole night we were hearing, you know, blasts, sounds, shrieks, uncertainty and confusion was looming large even in devotees' faces. Why is this happening? What is happening? So much uncertainty. So much. I remember a few years before that when Swaminarayan temple was attacked by terrorists in Ahmedabad in the evening time. That evening I remember brahmacharis, that time we didn't have security system and all that. We were taking rest here and one devotee said, what shelter we have in this material world? Anytime terrorists can come in and just shoot us, you know. Who can save us except Krishna? What shelter we have. And I remember the next morning one man, a sincere devotee who comes to our temple, he is not a person who wants attention. But because of all these crazy things happening, terrorism and all this bloodshed, social unrest, he broke down in the temple. He screamed and started beating his chest. He went crazy. It's not that he was making a show. He was actually genuinely, he became a victim of this crazy, bizarre events that are happening all around us. So insanity is threatening us. So we can see that this world, we have no shelter. And even chanting, sometimes we say, let me chant Hare Krishna, but chanting also, how much can we analyze our chanting and have all the tips? We have heard of so many tips for improving chanting, but still our chanting is not improving. Ultimate technique is to take shelter of Krishna. Because we are trying to use our intelligence, but mind, intelligence is more subtle than mind, but false ego is even more subtle than intelligence. So how can we with intelligence control or overcome the false ego? False ego is more subtle. We have to take shelter of Krishna. So chanting means basically taking shelter of Krishna. Draupadi, this is the most amazing example. She had not one husband, but five powerful husbands. There was Dronacharya, Bhishma, everybody was there, but nobody could save her. So with all our prowess and ability, a time will come when only Krishna, we have to depend and call out to Krishna. So therefore, even as a devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna, we cannot be complacent. Just like if you are sitting and you are sitting on a farm and you are seeing you have a plot of land and cow is coming and eating all the grass. Will you just sit and allow the animal to just eat away the grass of our compound? We'll get up and we'll do something about it. So actually, Satsurup Maharaj gives this example in one book. He says how time is like an animal which is chewing away our life and we are just sitting and, you know, tossing our beat bag and complacently chanting. How can we be complacent at this time? We have to exclusively take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, all great devotees have taught us this. And I remember this Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj's offering on Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day we had. What an offering. He made this statement. If there was a time in his own life, out of his humility was saying that, I will not be in ISKCON. He had to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. And then that's how he says he overcame that phase. Sachinandan Maharaj writes in his book, Art of Transformation, that he also went through a very serious relationship problem with one of his godbrothers. Amazing story he writes in great humility. And he was analyzing why his devotee is not talking to me. He tried everything. But then finally he called out to Krishna in great helplessness. And intensely took shelter of Krishna's holy names and prayers. And then he saw that everything settled down. The relationship improved. Last year we went to Mayapur Yatra. I asked one question to Jananivas Prabhu in our program. That you have seen so many ups and downs in Mayapur. How did you survive these phases? And he kept quiet for some time. And then he said, there were times when I came out of the campus thinking that I will leave. in the initial days. And I saw, and I looked right, and I looked left at the gate of the campus. And I said, where do I go? It's all Maya. Then I came back to the campus. So then you are saying how Krishna puts all of us through such tests where our faith is challenged, but we have to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. Nothing else will save us. Hearing and chanting is our only hope. I asked one of my godbrothers, I don't want to embarrass him. I asked him how he comes every week to temple. He comes 4 days a week to temple from very far off place. The suburbs, he comes for Mangalarti, chants with devotees. I asked him, how do you manage? What inspires you? And his answer was, Prabhu, what is my hope? I cannot survive otherwise. So this was the mood in which he took shelter of hearing and chanting. So let us today, after reading these prayers of Gajendra, also have this mood. Let us consider hearing and chanting not as a springboard for some other thing that we have to do in life. But hearing and chanting is actually an end in itself. This is the process by which we exclusively take shelter of Krishna and call out to Krishna like Gajendra and thus earn Krishna's mercy. So let us in this mood chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for speaking a lot of things beyond my present level of realization, but as a service for my own purification, I spoke. We're also sorry that we're a little over time. Please forgive me. We'll not be able to take any questions. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.